the wound and break it, babe. That's what you do. Ooh, and we don't need to be between the lines, between the lines. Oh, maybe I can feel what's on your mind, what's on your mind. Hey, 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 boy.
Use a bad girl.
Hey, 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 boy.
Say use a bad girl.
Yeah. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to the Tariq Elite Show. That's that new Guapale. Shout out to the Bay. That's that Guapale. Sexy sister. Glad to have everybody tuning in to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Ready to chop up some real good game on today's show. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Don't forget to check out TariqElite.com. That's where you can get all that fly, fresh gear. TariqElite.com. We're going to take a real quick commercial break before I get into the game. We're going to take some calls when I get back. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That's the number. We're going to take a real quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to come back. And I want y'all to chop it up with me right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show.
K-Soldier, the t-shirt brand inspired by ancient mysteries and modern style. Sign up for their t-shirt subscription and get a new exclusive shirt delivered every month automatically. Every shirt comes with a magazine that doubles as a poster, which describes the story and the history behind the design and the detail. It also comes with free stickers. Sign up for the t-shirt subscription right now. Tariq Radio listeners, use the coupon code KFLEX and get 50% off on your first month. That's KSeUltra.com. Again, that's KSeUltra.com.
You know, one of my favorite songs back in the day from Usher is called Let It Burn. But what you don't want to let burn are your genitals. That's because casual sex is on the rise right now, and so are STDs. And yes, it can happen to you. You can't be so trusting with people out here. And you want to get yourself checked out, so you need to go to stdhometestkit.com and order their in-home STD test kit. You can test at home and you can get the results at home, and the results come in less than 10 minutes. Plus, you get instant HIV testing. No mailing off to the lab, no embarrassing trips to the STD clinic with other people you might know that's burning along with you. Go to stdhometestkit.com right now, add the KFLEX coupon code and get 25% off on your order. Step your game up and get your tickets to the Manhood and Game Seminar happening in Times Square, New York, August 31st, 2014. Speakers include dating coach Mr. Licario, Royal Flyness, and Tell E. The seminar is designed to teach men about the dating game and about manhood. You're going to learn how to value yourself as a man, how to attract beautiful women, and how to stay focused and handle your business and make money, and much, much more. Space is limited, so get your tickets now at MrLicario.com. And you spell that MrLocario.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And I am your gracious host, Mr. Tariq Elite, ready to chop up some game with the family. We're going to take some calls in a minute. The phone number is 818-850-5404. And let me shout out everybody for getting Hidden Colors 3. Amazon is going to be restocked up totally tomorrow. And most of the bookstores are going to be restocked up tomorrow. So you guys can get your copies of Hidden Colors 3, whatever city you're in or wherever city you're in, you can get it there. And you can also still get it at Tariq, not Tariq Elite, but HiddenColorsFilm.com. That's the official site where you can get the Hidden Colors DVDs, HiddenColorsFilm.com. And I'd like to thank everybody for your patience, because for the last week, everything was sold out and we had to get a whole batch made up. And I show much respect to everybody who dodged the bootleggers, because the bootleggers are out like vultures, but a lot of the brothers and sisters, we're abiding by the code of conduct, avoiding the bootleggers, doing the right thing and supporting the film. So much love and respect to you for that, family. And again, that's at HiddenColorsFilm.com. Let's get some calls and see what's going on. A lot of folks calling right now. What's up, who's calling?
Hey, what's going on, Tariq? This is Najee from New Jersey.
What's up, man? How you doing, fam?
I can't complain. Listen, I seen Hidden Colors yesterday on a DVD. Hot fire.
Yes, sir.
Listen, if I got his name right, is it Dr. Cabba?
Yes, Dr. Cabba.
What he said at the end, powerful.
That was very heavy.
Couldn't have wrapped it up any better.
Yes, sir.
Listen, out here in New Jersey, I don't know if you heard. Well, a gentleman killed, I ain't going to say a gentleman, but a guy killed a cop in Jersey.
Yeah, I heard. The block is hot out there in Jersey, man. I know the white supremacists, the white supremacists are up in arms out there.
Yeah, they up in arms. So a news reporter put his job on the line to make a statement at the end of his commentary and says that I'm going to say what nobody else want to say.
Uh-huh.
These kids, I mean, the attitude, the negative attitude towards police officer is a direct link for all these black kids with no father.
Exactly.
I said, whoa.
Yeah, that was real heavy for them to put that man on the air and said that. And you know what happened? They didn't fire the guy. They suspended him. And that's very important. Y'all got to watch out for that. I always say that white supremacists, they don't get fired. They only get transferred. So
he get transferred.
Yeah.
Tariq, I was telling somebody that. I said, you know what? You'll see that guy on Fox News in a year or two from now.
No, he's going to be back on the same network. He's not going anywhere. They're going to suspend him for a little while and then put him in another position, but he ain't going nowhere. Because they put him on the air to say that. They knew what he was going to say. They wanted to put that out there. And what's interesting about his narrative, when a black person shoots a cop, all of a sudden it's the whole black community's fault. But when these white supremacists were shooting cops up in Vegas a few weeks ago, it was them as individuals. They were lone wolves. And they never lump the whole dominant white society in when there's all these mass shootings all over the place. So their narrative is very interesting.
You're right, and that's why I said, you know what, Tariq, I'm going to end it like this. That's why I'm glad that you gave that guy the business. If I'm not mistaken, it was last week when he kept talking about black crime and double digits, and I'm from Newark. And don't get it twisted, Newark has its issues, but Newark has always been like that. Yeah. So it's nothing new.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right?
Yeah, no doubt, man. Thanks for the call, fam.
All right.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. But yeah, yo, cats got to watch out right now, man. The game is real deep out here. It's heavy out here. Okay, this motherfucker's still on the phone, rambling. My nigga sound like he's going all through his glove compartments on the phone. But like I was saying, and again, I don't want to get too heavy, but the white supremacists, they're making a move. They're on the move out here. And we got to be very cognizant of what's going on. Let me see who else is on the phone right now. Let's get a couple of calls and see what's happening. Hold on 1 second. What's up? Who's calling?
This is Shamari calling out of Falls Church, Virginia.
All right, what's going on with you, Shamari?
Not much, man. I just wanted to give you a shout-out, you know what I'm saying, and let you know I appreciate the way you've been handling them black feminists. That's just saying the most out-of-pocket, ratchet shit ever.
Yeah. They're easy to handle, man. The thing is, a lot of dudes get intimidated by those women and their rhetoric. And they try to make a presence bigger than what they are. I'm telling you, the black feminists, they're a very small group of women. It's not a whole lot of them. On Twitter, it's about 10 or 20 of them, but they all have about 50 different screen names. So they give a bigger presence than they really have. And they make a lot of noise, but it's all bark and no bite. That's why you don't ever see anything or any type of of accomplishments from these women, man. So I just want to give you brothers the tools on how to handle them. And also watch out for the people that they're working for. I'm about to get into that right now. But thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, fam. But yeah, my brother was talking about on Twitter, and I talked about this on my Ustream show Sunday. The black feminists are at it again. And I'm not going to go too heavy into what's going on. You guys can listen to Sunday's show. But for the last year, I've been talking about this new campaign to so-called end street harassment. And I talked about that last year about how this was going to be a new form of stop and frisk. It's going to replace stop and frisk. And there were a lot of black feminists that wrote negative articles about me last year when I mentioned this whole street harassment thing is basically a front. And I've been telling people what they're going to do. They're going to try to create laws, and these laws are going to target black males. And ultimately, it's going to target black females, too, in the entire black community. And everything I said then is starting to come to pass, because there was this lady who's a white feminist named Holly Curl. Holly Curl. I think that's how you pronounce her last name. K-E-A-R-L. And a few years ago, she came up with this street harassment campaign. And what they're doing now, they've quote unquote partnered up with black feminists to combat street harassment. Now, that should have been a red flag right there. But again, I told y'all a year ago how this thing was going to go down. And that should have been a red flag right there. Now, you have to understand, and I've done several shows about the mindset of black feminists. When you deal with black feminists, you're dealing with agents of white supremacy. This is why they never criticize the white male power structure or any white male supremacists whatsoever. And it's very interesting that this whole street harassment campaign is getting so much, well, not even so much, but just getting a push now where they're targeting black males. And don't get it twisted. They try to pretend that their combating of street harassment has nothing to do with race. They always say that. Oh, this is not, there's all types of people who street harass, but let's be very clear. Black males become the face of street harassment. This is why they get black feminists, so that the white feminists won't look racist when they go around spreading that propaganda of the black male rapist slash assault slash stalker. Because again, the white feminists, they've always used that black male rapist image as a way to push an agenda. Now they understand that it's a very, you can get called out for being racist doing that. So now what they do, they'll co-opt black females to do it for them. And they know that black feminists who've been ostracized by the black community, that's why they become black feminists, really. And I've talked about this before. Many of these women are just female. They're kind of nerdy women. They never really fit into black society with men or women. So they're outsiders to a certain degree. And they're very angry at the black community. If you look at them, it's just something real off about them. So they're down to sell the whole black community out, like at the drop of a hat. They're just sitting around just waiting on an opportunity. You don't even have to give them money. It's that proverbial butter biscuit they'll sell the whole black community out for. And the white feminists understand this. And the first question you have to ask when people are talking about street harassment, why are the white feminists buddying up with you, black feminists, black females, but black feminists in particular, talking about street harassment, these black men that don't nobody know, this unknown black male menace that nobody ever sees, but you always hear the black feminists talking about them. And that's very interesting, because a lot of women called into my show on Sunday talking about street harassment, and they were like, we don't get harassed. I don't know what those feminists are talking about. So it's very interesting that the women who say that they get street harassed by black men all the time, why is it that they all just happen to be black feminists, or they happen to have black feminist ideology? Ask yourself that. I mean, these are real serious questions that should be answered. Whenever you see a woman who says she's always harassed by black men in the streets, usually the woman is a black feminist, self-identified black feminist. That's a very strange coincidence. And women who are not identified as feminists, they say, we're not being harassed. So who are we to believe? So I'm thinking it's all about perception. Or the black feminist may have an agenda. And the thing is, what happens is that a lot of black feminists, remember, and I've talked about this before, they want to be white supremacists. They have the same mentality of white supremacists. They want to be able to do the same thing that the white supremacists do, which is accuse black men arbitrarily of rape and harassment. That's what white women can do, especially the white female supremacists. That whole, the black guy's going to rape me, the black guy's going to assault me, that's a calling card that a lot of white women have had for years. And black feminism and black feminists, they want to have that same calling card. Now, they'll disguise it behind a fake political agenda. But again, I always ask, have a black feminist show you anything that a black feminist has built. you won't see it. They don't build anything. They're there to distract you and keep you unfocused away from the white supremacists. And these are old tactics. The white supremacists, whenever they want to get a law or something intact or get something in place, they know that using the black male menace is the fastest way to get a law passed. The fastest way to get a law passed is using the black male menace. That goes back way to Jim Crow. Back in the day when they wanted to make cocaine illegal, all they did was run stories saying that there's the cocaine crazed Negro. There's a bunch of black men high on cocaine raping white women. So immediately they made cocaine illegal. When they wanted to make marijuana illegal, they put out stories, Mexicans and blacks are high on marijuana raping the white women. We got to stop them. Whenever they wanted to change the gun laws in California with the Black Panthers, when the Black Panthers got those guns, they immediately changed those laws. Oops, black males are going to come shoot all the white folks. We need to change the law. And again, you have to ask this question too. Why is it that the white feminists never stand side by side with black females against white males? Whenever the black feminists, and I'm going to say this a million times until a black feminist gives me an answer or anyone an answer, and people, if you ever talk to a black feminist, ask them that question. They're going to always deflect. Every time you ask this question, and it's a very relevant question, why is it that white feminists never stand with black feminists on anything pertaining to a white male? The only time the white feminists will stand up with black women is if it's against a black male or the perception of a black male, just like this street harassment. There's a website showing the face of street harassment and all the pictures are of black men. That's not a coincidence. People pretend that these laws are non-biased. All street harassment is not about race, but if they were to pass a law, and what they're ultimately trying to do, they're trying to pass a law to make verbal harassment illegal. This woman, Holly Curl, is trying to do that. Now, the black feminists are pretending they don't know this is happening, but they are very aware that this is happening, and this is the problem that I have with the whole street harassment narrative. But like I was saying, a lot of the white feminists, they will stand with the black feminists to satisfy their agenda, the white supremacist agenda, and they know that the black feminists will be a distraction. And again, they only do this when there's a black male. Remember a few years ago with Rick Ross, when the white feminists wanted to shake down some of the record labels, they used Rick Ross as the whipping boy for the day and got black feminists to co-sign when he made a song about him giving a girl some date rape drug of something they really stretched out of context. And then they got the black feminists to join up with them then. But it's very interesting that the white feminists do not say anything against Anthony Comia, the white dude who just street harassed a black lady a few weeks ago in New York, called this woman all types of bitches, whores, cunts, all types of racial epithets. The white feminists have said nothing. This is a question that we have to ask them and the black feminists. Why aren't they saying anything about that? And again, when you ask the black feminists that, they will quickly change the subject. Because my thing is this, if you want somebody to take your so-called movement seriously, you can't pick and choose who you're going to ostracize. When you ostracize black folks, unknown black people that don't nobody see doing this, it's just a black male thing. There's no name or no face. It's just a whole black male thing. But then when you have white folks that you're giving a pass, who we know who they are, we know their identity, we know what their faces look like, but you say nothing, this takes away from the validity of your movement, and people should question that. Because there's cases after cases after cases. There's so many cases of white cops beating up black women, the white feminists don't say anything. There's about 4 situations in the last 3 weeks alone where there have been white cops beating down black women. Straight up, beating them down like they were dudes. The white feminists said nothing. The black feminists said nothing. If we're going to talk about harassment and abuse of women, you can't give that a pass and then think we're going to take everything you say seriously. Even today, well, not today, but I think yesterday, there was a judge, a black lady who was a judge. Some dude, white dude, spit on her and slapped her in the face. Why aren't the white feminists saying anything about that? Why aren't they joining with black women against black white males? All of a sudden, you're joining with black women against street harassment where black men are the faces of that. That's very suspicious, and that's something that we should not let go. See, when we have people coming to us with an agenda, we can't ignore what their agenda is. And a lot of the feminists, the black feminists, they say, well, we don't care what their agenda is. Street harassment is still real. Now, when you say that, they're running a game. And we are, as black folks, we can't be in a position where we let people come in and game us up all the time. And they're not even trying hard. They're using old techniques on black folks. The white feminists have been doing the same thing for the last 150 years, even back in the 70s, when they wanted to attack black males, getting all that anti-rape money because there was all these anti-rape movements going on with white feminists in the 70s. They co-opted some random black women and start putting them out in the forefront to criticize black males for them. Gloria Steinem did that with a lady named Michelle Wallace. Gloria Steinem had Ms. Magazine. All of a sudden, they put this random unknown black lady on the cover named Michelle Wallace, and she was promoting Michelle Wallace's book called Black Macho. And it was a book just really ripping black men to shred. Very interesting that the white feminists would join up with a black woman to rip black men. Very interesting that that happened. Let's go back even further. Let's go to the 1800s with Ida B. Wells and Frances, I think it's Willard or Hillard. I think her name is Hillard. Or I think it's Willard. I get my names mixed up sometimes. But this was in the 1800s. Where another thing is, a lot of black feminists will try to say that Ida B. Wells was this great feminist. Ida B. Wells was not a feminist, family. As a matter of fact, y'all do me a favor. Find me a quote of Ida B. Wells talking about women's rights. That's your assignment for the day, and let me know what you find. Find me a quote of Ida B. Wells speaking about women's rights. You won't really find it. Ida B. Wells, she wasn't talking about no women's rights. She understood that the black community was one. So she fought against white supremacy. She always called out the white supremacists, and she called out the white feminist. So what they try to do, they try to redefine what Ida B. Wells was. Ida B. Wells was a writer. Ida B. Wells was a writer. And she called out white feminists like Susan B. Anthony and Frances Willard. That's her name, Frances Willard. Frances Willard was one of these, again, liberal white feminists who brought a few black women around and acted all buddy-buddy with Ida B. Wells to show how liberal they were and how non-racist they were. But the thing is, when Frances Willard got around white people, when she was campaigning around whites, especially in the South, she started using the same white supremacist rhetoric as everybody else. She went down South and started raising money talking about how these black men are going around, they're going to get all the white women. So y'all need to give us some money because these black men, we don't want them too free. But they going to rape all of the white women. And those black people, they have babies all over the place. They just have babies like locusts in Egypt. That's actually one of her quotes, talking about how black people just have all these babies. She was talking real greasy about black folks. And what happened is Ida B. Wells called her out on her racism. Ida B. Wells saw the game that was being played. Ida B. Wells saw that they were trying to use her, Ida B. Wells, to kind of be a front for their white supremacist agenda. And Ida B. Wells called them out on that. So again, I say this to say that the white supremacist feminist, they've always used the same tactics from even back in the 1800s. And they've used the same rhetoric. The rhetoric don't even change. The black male rapist rhetoric, the black male sexual predator rhetoric, they run on that. That's a constant. And now they're trying to add more laws to criminalize black males. Now, they're not going to say this straight out, but it happens when they pass these laws. You have to look at the history, and you have to look at the code words, and you have to look at the signs, and you have to look at the patterns, and then you have to put two and two together, and don't sit up and wait for them to tell you what they're going to do, because that's how white supremacy works. They don't tell you exactly what they're going to do. White supremacy works on deception. So, of course, they're going to say, well, we're not, no, this ain't about race. Just like they said, stop and frisk was not going to be about race. Oh, no, if you're not a criminal, you have nothing to worry about with stop and frisk. But who did stop and frisk target? 70% of the people were black they targeted. Just like with the drug laws. Oh, the drug laws are non-biased. It's not going to target people based on race, but the majority of people who go to jail for drugs, non-violent drug offenses, are black people. And the number one drug in the country is meth and heroin. Drugs that black folks don't even use. But we go to jail the most. So when they say that these drugs are not, or these laws are not biased, we can't go by that. And this street harassment law, if they pass a law that makes it illegal to verbally, so-called assault, and watch these words, verbal assault, verbal harass, sexual, verbal. They're trying to make all of that shit interchangeable. They're trying to go back to that Emmett Till thing where if you whistle at a white woman or say something to a woman, you can be punished without retribution. So we got to understand how the game rolls, family. And call not just the white supremacists out, but the black feminists who are working for the white supremacists or trying to get a butter biscuit from the white supremacists. We got to call them out too. What's up? Who's calling?
Melissa.
Melissa?
Yes.
Hey, Melissa, how are you?
Good, are you?
I'm good. Where are you calling from, Melissa?
Houston, Texas.
How old are you, Melissa? You sound real young.
23.
23. Okay, what's on your mind?
Nothing, just chilling over here with my husband. Usually he listens to your shows.
Okay.
All right. He actually met you a couple of years ago when you came to Houston.
Okay, what, one of my lectures down there?
Yes.
Okay, did you come to the lecture?
No, I didn't meet him. I wasn't with him when he met you.
Oh, okay. So you weren't with him when he met me. So how long y'all been married?
3 years and October 16th.
Okay, now what are you, black or Mexican? What are you?
Salvadorian.
Oh, Salvador. Okay, I heard a little accent there. There you go. Cool. Well, tell your husband I said what's up, and go ahead and make him some rice and beans and do what you do. You feel me?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, Tariq, man? Big shout out to you, man. Everything you're doing, Hidden Colors. I haven't got a chance to see you yet, but, man, I appreciate everything you're doing over the years. I've learned a lot of game from you, just everything.
Oh, man.
Appreciate all the lessons, man.
Much respect. I didn't know you were at home. I thought she was just calling on her own. This nigga just popped up out of nowhere. There you go. How you doing? Shit, nigga.
Yeah, she had put the phone on speaker, and I heard you. I'm like, okay, I got to say something.
Okay, this nigga.
I fought it on a few shows. You had got me one time. You were like, Larry. You got me a couple times on the show.
Oh, man, there you go. Hey, man, but hey, man, thanks for the call, fam. That's my man and his El Salvadorian wife. I thought she was on that narcotic for a minute. She sounded a little, you know. But there's a little language barrier, so I give her a pass. I'm not going to get on her. What's up? Who's calling?
What's going on? This is Lavelle, man. I'm calling from Chi-Town. What's happening?
What's up, Lavelle? Do I hear dogs in the back?
Hey, man, I'm not going to front. I'm not even tuned in. I didn't think I was going to get in the car, but I just want to give a shout-out. Call from Chicago.
Yes, sir.
What's good?
Man, have you seen Hidden Colors 3 yet?
Man, it came out actually the day of my birthday. I was kind of disappointed. They only had it in two areas. And I didn't get a chance to see it, but I'm going to get around to go and check it out, man.
No doubt, that's man. You need sure. to make that a priority, man. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com and get that. We've had several showings in Chicago.
No. They had it out south, man. I'm in the burbs, man. You know what I'm saying? So it's a little complicated. Man, we had like a 7 o'clock. And I wasn't trying to get shot.
No, damn, ain't that a bitch.
Yeah, man, but you know, I just had to call in. I've read a couple of your books, man, The Art of Mac and The Mac Within, and I stayed in tune with you, all your live streams and everything like that.
Yes, indeed.
And now I'm about to follow you again. I see you got a new website that's up. And, yeah, man.
Yes, indeed, man, but thanks for the call, fam. Yes, indeed, I'm going to get into some game. We're going to talk about how to carry yourself. That's what we're going to talk about. I seen a video. And speaking of East Coast, I'm going to be in New York next week. I'll be in New York all week doing press, doing publicity. So shout out to all my New York folks. I had to get up with some of y'all to show me around. I'm going all over the boroughs of New York. I'm hitting up Brooklyn because usually when I go to New York, I'm in and out real fast. But I'm going to be out there for a week. So I'm going to really soak it in. I'm taking the family out. And, you know, between me doing press out there, got some interviews with magazines and stuff. And we're going to set up some radio stuff out there. All my radio people hit me up at info@tariqelite.com. But we're going to hit up. I need y'all to tell me some of the good eating spots up in Brooklyn, some of the good Jamaican spots, just everything. The Bronx, Queens, all that. We're going to hit up all that stuff out there. I saw a video of Jocelyn from Love & Hip Hop. You know, people are talking about the Love & Hip Hop cast. They had a reunion, I think, yesterday or sometime this week, and they were fighting and, you know, doing a lot of nigga shit at the reunion. There's a video of Jocelyn. She's at this studio, and she's clearly high on something. She's, like, tweaking high. She's rapping, and she just, her eyes all bugged out, and she just looks like she's just tweaked the fuck out. And she's at some studio. She's sweating like crazy. I mean, she's, like, you know, just really looks like she's on that narcotic, allegedly. But she really is tweaking on this. And, you know, people are tripping out about the video. Now, I don't like the video. I don't like the clip because I don't like how the dudes around her did the video. I don't like little shit like that. Little niggas taping folks and putting this shit out. Because the niggas around her, it's a bunch of dudes around. She's at some studio and they're kind of just, there's some real shiesty looking niggas. What it looks like, the niggas who sold her the shit she's on are the ones who, they're sitting around taping her. They sold her, gave her the shit she's on, and she's tweaking out, bugging out, rapping, looking crazy, acting crazy. And the niggas are just in the background kind of side-eyeing, and just that real shiesty, dusty nigga look. Whoever you niggas are, y'all don't get no Jeep pass for that. You don't get no props. That shit is lame. That's bitch shit as far as I'm concerned. You got somebody who's, you know, semi-famous or whatever, and you're low-key taping them while they're tripping out and putting it on the net just for attention, just to get motherfuckers to hit your Instagram. That's a testament to how raggedy the game is right now. That's fuckboy shit. Look, back in the day, dude, you know, the hustlers, you knew celebrities, and you knew well-known people who would do certain things they weren't supposed to be doing. And the hustlers, to a certain degree, almost looked out for them. The hustlers looked out for them. You didn't want to put them on out there like that. Now, even you might have some information about them that you kept in your back pocket just in case they decide to start flipping on motherfuckers later on, but you just don't put no shit out there on people just for the attention. And I say, you might find somebody who's doing something, you might tape them, but you don't show nobody the tape just in case that person tries to go snitch on somebody, then you got some on them, so you got a little leverage. That's the only reason you would tape somebody doing something like that, to kind of keep in your back pocket so they don't break bad on you later. It's just like how the Mafia did J. Edgar Hoover. For years, there was a rumor that the Mafia had these pictures of J. Edgar Hoover in some compromising poses. There's been rumors for years. They said that J. Edgar Hoover, who was the head of the FBI, they said they had pictures of this motherfucker cross-dressing, wearing some hoe heels or whatever. But whatever the case, J. Edgar Hoover never acknowledged the existence of the Mafia. So the Mafia had something on his ass, because he didn't do nothing against the Mafia, didn't even acknowledge that they existed. And J. Edgar Hoover went after everybody except them. So they knew and the pictures never came out. They kept that shit in their back pocket just to let him know, hey, man, Don't get loose at the lips while you out here smashing on everybody. Don't try to smash us, or we're going to let people know what's really going on with your little sweet thing self. That's how the Mafia was. And again, that's how hustlers used to be. You know, we back in the day, you'd see celebrities and singers and actors, you know, doing stuff they weren't supposed to do. We'd see it all the time. I knew a lot of rappers and singers and actors with all types of drug habits and, you know, who's into a whole bunch of shit. But you don't put them out there like that. And for what? That's bitch nigga shit. As a hustler, as a dude, that's just hoe-ass nigga shit. So the dudes who did that, it's not fly. It ain't cute. Niggas shouting out they Instagrams. That's, nigga, kill yourself. And that's what we get with these moist bitch made dudes raised by women. They take on women feminine ass energy. But I digress. I just wanted to say that. Let me get one or two more calls before I get into some game. What's up, my nigga? Who is this? Superman, nigga? You sound like you flying through the fucking galaxy, nigga. Who is this?
Peace. What's up, Tariq? This AB from Miami in Orlando.
AB from Miami. How you doing, family? What's on your mind?
No, not much. Just cruising in the city in my Gucci loafers.
There you go. But, there you go.
But I had a question. Why? I have my own business, right? I'm young. I'm 21. I have my own business. Why does it seem like some black people in the corporate world like to be the only black person that, you know, per se made it in that certain position? Because I'm going through a little situation like that where I'm supposed to be subcontracted a contract from a black company, and at the last minute he turned around and gave it to I don't know where the guy was from, but
so you were going to be subcontracted to a black company?
No, there was a black company that actually had a big contract.
Okay.
So I spoke to the guy, and he was going to subcontract me a piece of that contract for that work.
Okay.
And this is probably like the third time I dealt with this certain company. And every time at the last minute, they go and give it to some Mexican or some white guy. And I get the feeling like he feels as though I'm coming up on him, and he wants to be the only, you know, black guy in that field that made it that far. That's the type of persona I get.
Right. So does he own the company?
Yeah, he owns the company.
So how many black people work for him?
It's just the owners. That's it. It's actually three black men.
Okay. Okay.
Three black.
Well, and I don't know the ins and outs of the situation, but, you know, sometimes, you know, black folks get in certain positions and, you know, they don't want too much competition, but with each other, but they'll hire all these other people. Or a lot of black people like to feel special when it comes to dealing with those in the dominant society, because they know that those in the dominant society are only going to deal with a limited number of black folks. So they feel like if it's a limited number, let that black person be me. You feel me? And I'm about to talk about that on the show right now, that type of mentality. But thanks for the call, fam. Now, I would need to know the more particulars about that young man's situation. But this goes into what I want to talk about today, how to carry yourself. You got to start carrying yourself a certain way, because like the man called up, right now, black people are becoming an obsolete labor force. And this is what Brother Claude Anderson has been talking about for years. Black people are going to have to start carrying themselves in a more business-like manner, in a more boss-like manner. And that means you're going to have to start handling your business. Not just carrying yourself a certain way, handle your business a certain way. And I just want to talk about when you walk in the room or when you do business, I want you to take a few of these tips on how to handle yourself, how to carry yourself when you do business. Because again, they're bringing in a lot of people, illegal immigrants. They're letting them flood on in to replace you in the workplace. There are a lot of white people who are out of work right now, so they're struggling for jobs and positions. I talked about this the other day. I was doing an interview. Several interviews last week, but one interview I did on a news station. When I was in the studio, I'm thinking that everybody was on a break because nobody was in the studio. And only thing that was in there was the camera equipment and the sound equipment and the desk and the setup. And when it was time to get on air, it was just me and the anchor. We're the only people in the room because all the cameras were automated. All the cameras were automated. I mean, this is state-of-the-art shit. The cameras were automated. The audio was automated. Only thing was somebody came in and mic'd me up and left, and that's it. But it was just me and this dude in the room while I was doing this interview live on television. Just me and this other dude. I was shocked because I've done television before, and usually it's a ton of people just running around. The three and four camera guys, the person, the cameraman's assistant, the audio guy, the lighting guy, just a whole bunch of people. It was nobody in this motherfucking studio. So I'm like, damn. They're slicing the need of a lot of people. So I know black folks, we were really going to feel the brunt of that. So it's time for us to start carrying ourselves a certain way and handling business correctly. And this will translate not just into business, but in your relationships and everything. We got to start bossing up with it. And let me give y'all some tips on how to carry yourself generally, and a lot of this has to do with your body language. Your body language has to be very important because when it comes to doing business, your physical appearance and the way you carry yourself physically, that's the first thing people see. So people do take note of that. I mean, some people are not going to take too much stock on it, but we do, and people do take note of that. So your body language has to be very correct. Now, I don't want to get too caught up on stuff like crossing your legs and, you know, wiping your eye. I don't want to get too caught up in that because your body language is really all about your mindset. The way you think about yourself is going to translate in your body language. But you still need to have your body language game in order. See, if you think of yourself as a boss, you think of yourself as handling business, you think of yourself in a confident way, that your body language is going to reflect that. And if you are unsure of yourself, if you have self-doubt, if you don't know if you're going to make a good impression, your body language can give that off too. So you got to get your mind right first and foremost. That's number one. But when you have the right body language, that says a lot. And one thing you don't do, one general rule of body language, never put your hand in your pocket. Like if you somewhere handling business or trying to handle business, or even talking to a lady, don't put your hand in your pocket because people hide their hands when they're nervous. You know the old saying that people throw stones and hide their hands. Hide their hands. When people do that, that's a nervous thing that makes you look unsure. You don't want to have that kind of energy. So, you know, when you see me a lot of times doing interviews, I talk with my hands. You expose your hands, showing that you're not afraid of anything. When you talk with your hands, that shows a lot of confidence. You don't want to go over the top, but motioning with your hands shows that you're open. And again, don't try to impress people when you meet them, but you do want to make a good impression. Understand that. Don't try to impress, but make a good impression. Making a good impression is just being you and the best you can be and being confident in yourself. And you're just going to put your best foot forward. That's just making a good impression. But trying to impress, sometimes that shows insecurity. You're trying too hard to make other people like you. You don't want to have that kind of energy, family. You don't want to impress anybody, but you want to make a good impression. And you do that by being your most thorough self. And another thing, man, you always got to make sure you stand straight up. And I've said this a million times. I see cats walking in the room slouching. When you're slouching, that tells me a lot that I need to know about you. When people who want to do business, you don't want to do business with nobody slouching, whose shoulders are down because they already look defeated. People who walk around like that, you look like you're lost. No one wants to deal with somebody who looks like they're losing. People want to rock with the winner. Whoever looks like they're winning, that's who people want to rock with. It's just like a horse race. When you go to a horse racing facility and you examine the horses, you don't want that horse that's slumped over, skinny legs, the horse that looks unhealthy, the horse that's rickety. You want the horse that's a stallion, that's head up, hooves all nicely done. You want the hooves and the shiny coat horse. You want the horse that's standing strong, the horse that looks like a winner. That's who you're going to bet your money on. The horse that's standing upright, that's strapping, head up. You got to be that horse. You got to be that stallion when you walk in the room so people can place their bets on you. And also when you walk, family, take wide steps when you walk. You don't want to take little tiny geisha girl steps. You got to take big steps when you walk. That shows confidence. That shows you know what you're doing. That shows that you're owning the room when you walk in the room. You want to rock in there like that. And also, family, when you deal with folks, business or social, you want to smile, but don't coon. There's a real big difference between smiling, because that shows that you're a welcoming person, but you don't want to coon where you're grinning too much and you're laughing at every goddamn thing. There's a real big difference. Talk to people, smile, be welcoming and inviting. Be serious when you need to be serious, but when you're initially meeting somebody and doing business or even just meeting that young lady, show motherfuckers that you are a warm, welcoming person. You got to smile a little bit. Now, again, I don't mean cackle and coon, but sometimes niggas get to, especially when black folks get around white folks, they get to grinning a little bit too much and laughing at everything. You know, when, you know, you, that type of nigga, the nigga just love cackling. You don't want to be that dude. So smile, but don't coon. And another thing, family, you got to get your breath game in order. I've talked about this before. Because I meet cats sometimes and niggas' breath smells like the haunted. Your breath game has to be in order, family. Carry you some Listerine strips and pop one in every time you're about to meet somebody or do some business. Now, some of y'all need more than a Listerine strip. You need a Listerine blanket to wrap around your goddamn tongue. But get your breath game in order. That's a very important thing. Because don't nobody want to smell nothing crazy when they meet you. That's the fastest way to get somebody to not want to do business with you. But when you walk in the room, when you deal with folks, man, you got to make a good impression. You got to be thorough. Your body language has to be in order. You got to carry yourself like a boss. You got to carry yourself like a winner so that people will invest in you to win, or not just invest, but to do business with you. And also, see, the thing is, when a black male, let me talk to the brothers in particular. When you have a black man, when you walk into a room, especially with white executives and white dudes, white males, when, if you're a black man and you can walk into a place with white males and you're not bowing down and you are confident and you're handling your business like a boss, I'm telling you, when women see that, you will get all types of levels of cooperation if you want that. Because a lot of dudes, you know, you want cooperation for dudes who are interested in that. If you want to show a woman how much of a boss you are, let her see you go into a room full of white males who are big shots and handle your business thoroughly without bowing down and cooning. They see that and be like, damn. And I'm talking about all the women, white, black, and otherwise. They start cooperating heavy. Ask some of these brothers out here who are thorough, who handle their business and do business with those in the dominant society, and watch the reaction and ask them about the reaction they get from the women in the office and just women who peep them out like that. Dude, there's a whole level of cooperation some of y'all cats ain't even up on yet. See, the thing is, man, a lot of dudes, brothers, man, brothers, even if they got money, they get around boss white folks and start bowing down. They get nervous and they kind of start bucking. Dame Dash talked about that, how a lot of rappers, they talk big and then they get around the white execs, walk in the room, and then the rappers start bowing down. But when you're confident around those in the dominant society, and I ain't talking about just walking around like a brute, like you want to beat everybody up, trying to scare people, because that's another thing. A lot of dudes do that. They'll either, number one, they'll coon when they get around white folks, or they'll try to be intimidating to compensate. to try to scare all the white folks. I'm talking about just going in a room, strapped with confidence. You own that room. You handle your business like a boss. When women see that, nigga, I'm telling you, draws get damp when they see that from a brother. So always carry yourself like a boss. That goes a long way, family. Hey, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Join me this Sunday on Ustream. Again, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get the Hidden Colors DVD. Go to TariqElite.com to get those new boots and shirts and all of that good stuff, family. I'ma holla.